This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Bears heavy on my mind. Then I look at you. And the world's all
welcome back. Right, Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank and Martin here till 12. Plowsy, why don't you check out some of those texts if you get a chance. And if you'd like to be a part of the program, you can do so. Winning streak text line, 855-282-8255. I was with Brian Youngberg during the holidays. He is one of their great salesmen. If you are looking for uniforms, baseball, basketball, football, go to the best. Winning streak in Dupo, Illinois. They will take incredible care of you. Winning-streak.com. They're the best at what they do. Any quick text there?
Yeah, Frank, I can't believe you haven't mentioned that absolutely stellar performance last night by your favorite quarterback in the NFL, Blaine Gabbert. That is from The Prodigal.
He had some rough moments there.
Rough, you could say that. Frank, glad you're in studio today. You are the best. That is from Stickman and a wine. Let's see.
From Stickman.
From Stickman in all caps.
You go home and you tell me, honey, I'm the best. And you know why?
Yeah. Stickman.
Stickman said I'm the best.
Blaine is a... I'd say a friend, and I like him. I like the fact that he's lasted a long time, made some money. I've never said he's a great quarterback in the NFL, but he's made a living, and he gets starts, you know?
About his 10th year-ish almost in the league.
Just imagine the pension. I saw Bill Miller Sr. last night, the father of our former hitting coach and former batting champion with the Red Sox, and he said, and I was talking about Bill, because Bill's only like 48, and I think he's kind of looking for right now. He's networking himself. And I said, what about money-wise? He goes, well, no problem there. You know, he got 10 years in. You know, if you get 10 years in the league, I think it's $250,000, something like that.
I think that's like the minimum. If you get to 10.
Yeah. Plus all the millions he made. And then you get more years. If you're even a coach in the major leagues, that counts as major league pension.
So. That's why all those guys are like, just get that 10th year. I think it was Cliff Polite who came up just short. He was trying to get that 10th year.
Really?
Now you're still going to get a pension.
Yeah.
But that 10th year is sort of the magical number.
I felt bad for the guy. We had a guy from Canton get drafted, I think, in the fourth round in 2007 or 2008, something like that. Was the all-time leader in tackles in Division 1A in Illinois State University, Boomer Grigsby. And he was a huge hit on Hard Knocks and made a name for himself in the Chief. But he was one of those tweeners from he was a linebacker. They moved him to fullback. He had two more games left to get to his pension, and he did not get it.
Oh,
to get really? to the five-year partial,
yeah,
which is, you know, for that guy enough. He was two games away.
How about Nick Foles coming up four snaps short of playing in 33% of the snaps, which would have given him $1 million?
And he should have played.
I think the Eagles may be like the Yankees with CeCe Sabathia and just give him the money. And they should, because that guy he's insane. What do you, I mean, if you conducted a poll right now, who do you want to be the Eagles' starting quarterback in Philadelphia? Wouldn't it be like 80-20 Nick Foles now? Oh, my gosh.
Because Carson Wentz, as good as he was, now has got the label, right? Don't you think of him as being hurt all the time?
Yeah. Yeah, and I love the video that's tweeted out now a lot is the Jeff Fisher on Hard Knocks when he calls Nick Foles. To let him know he's releasing the. Remember how bad he was in St. Louis to where he is now. It looked like he couldn't play the quarterback position.
Charlie turned to me in the press box at the Dome and said, "This might be the worst quarterback play I've ever seen.
Ever.
He was that bad." Now I realize the Rams may have been contributing factor.
Yes,
and he did want to be released once they draft Jared Goff, but he goes out to Lindenwood for that scrimmage, and before he's ever taken a practice snap in front of our eyes. He gets locked up, and we're like, what?
Were you with me that night?
Yeah, we were
on the field when they announced it.
We've given Nick a new deal, and he's very happy. And we're like, well, why would you get a new deal? And they're like, well, we want to have somebody locked up for next year. And we're like, why do you need somebody? Oh, so when you go to L.A., you got a healthy girly and a new quarter. Okay.
Wow.
And a super nice guy. I was happy
for
him.
The nicest guy.
Happy for him last year.
But watching him in St. Louis was unbelievable. It was.
wasn't that long ago.
No.
How about if he did it again?
Well, look at the
another run.
Look at the games. Don't you like the road team for the most part? Colts at Texans. Right now, the Colts are as hot as anybody. Texans.
Well, 11 out of 13 for the Texans. But
Andrew
9
Luck,
out of 10, I think, for the Colts.
Can I sell you on Andrew Luck going in there and winning?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
How about Seattle at Dallas? I kind of like
see
Seattle.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
Can I sell you on the Eagles at Chicago?
No. That's the one I can't, just because at home in Chicago, that defense is not your Baltimore Ravens defense, but pretty close to where you're carrying the whole franchise.
So one guy who's absolutely magical in the postseason against another quarterback who you're not certain of at all during the regular season.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, but,
I could see the Eagles, though, with their recent playoff pedigree being loose and like, hey, all we get is win, and the Bears kind of arriving this year, maybe not quite ready for the big stage.
I think out of those you named, I think that's the least likely, but yes, they do have the playoff pedigree, so that'd be interesting.
And then Frank's guy, the Stallion, Philip Rivers and the Chargers going across country at the Ravens. I'd love to see the Chargers win, but I think Baltimore at home.
Yeah, you just got a good vibe about Lamar Jackson, and then Philip Rivers is really, really struggled here down the stretch, much to my dismay. Cost me another Fantasy Football League championship. I think Baltimore's got a great chance. How about Harbaugh? I mean, 2 months ago, everybody said, well, boy, the Ravens are going to have to fire him. And now he wasn't happy, apparently, with the contract that they offered him. And if he says no to that, there's six or seven openings right now in the NFL. He could probably have any of those jobs. Would you agree?
He'd be an unbelievable free agent. Yeah. There's no doubt about it. I like him as a head coach. He just has that feel. And I also think he's less crazy than Jim.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
And more, which I guess is not, that's an understatement. But he is also sort of friendly. He kind of gets the job, I think.
Yeah.
Like being a head coach in the NFL. Now, they've been, I think he gets stuck. I mean, Flacco is not a dynamic quarterback. I know he did win the Super Bowl, but I think you're kind of stuck when you had Flacco there, and he was, you know, as a head coach, you're just linked to that guy forever. I think that's what happened in Miami. Tannehill, you get stuck with him, you're just kind of mediocre.
All right, let's switch topics and welcome to the conversation the voice of the St. Louis Blues, Chris Kerber. Chris, good to be with you. How are you?
Martin, Frank, I'm doing great. How are you guys today?
Very good. Much to discuss. Saturday performance was just crazy because you started to feel like, hey, they've kind of turned the corner, and we kind of felt that way quite a few times after two-game win streaks. How'd you see Saturday unfold, Chris?
You know, unfortunately, it unfolded because it didn't start right. They weren't able to kill that first penalty of the hockey game, and you just kind of went, uh-oh, right at that moment in time. When it's one of your top veteran guys in Alexander Steen, unfortunately, with an errant high stick on the opening shift, and it just kind of stung them, I think. And 5-on-5, honestly, I thought the team played well. I mean, they were right there with them, and you had chances. You hit a post again. You lead the league in post hit this year, actually. And couldn't get that equalizer goal. And I thought 5-on-5, but unfortunately, they just couldn't stay out of the penalty box against that Pittsburgh team. And then, on top of not staying out of the penalty box, the penalty kill structurally just went south, and it unfortunately had a huge impact in that game. And you know, we talked about prior to that game, look, the team's been trending in the right direction in some things, and you know, you win that game, and all of a sudden you've won 7 of 10, and you're going, holy cow, what's going on? And things are trending right. It's the type of loss that they have seemed to find their way into, especially on home ice, that's a little mind-boggling. That kind of makes it feel like they kind of have to climb a bigger hill the next game versus just continuing to trend better, you know, if that makes any sense.
Curbs having Robbie Fabry back. I know he's battled injuries on and off, but what can he do? What can he add?
Well, they're going to put him and start him on the fourth line. I hope that we see him climb up the lineup in a real hurry here tonight. He's going to bring some speed. He's going to bring that work ethic. He's going to bring that tenacity. Robbie has to start playing some smarter hockey. And what I mean by that is, you know, you want him to be aggressive. You want him to be, you know, have that work ethic that he's got. But he can't try and run over guys like Tyler Myers and guys that are just outmanning him size-wise. And that's unfortunately what led to his injury. So he's going to have to play a little bit smarter, maybe a little bit cautious, live to fight another day. But it's going to be great to have him back in there. I wouldn't mind even seeing him get some power play time right off the bat and change what has just been not very good power play for the Blues. So if he stays in a fourth line role for the entire game, that's a good thing because that means the other lines are going.
What do we know about this Ranger team that comes in 16-14-7? I know Kevin Shattenkirk has been sidelined with a shoulder injury, and he may be returning tonight.
Yeah, there's a chance Kevin Shattenkirk could get back in the lineup. He's been injured. He's also been a healthy scratch at a couple of different times. It's a Rangers team that maybe a little bit behind the Blues, supposedly, in their transition process, but are trying to do it while staying competitive. They got a couple of young rookies in Hedl and Howden, two rookies that are 20 years of age or younger that have over 13 points already on the season. They've got a new head coach that came in from the college ranks that is coaching this team well. If you play well for him, he's giving you more ice time. If you're not playing well, he's not giving you ice time. But he's got them playing some aggressive hockey, and at a couple games over 500, probably a little bit better season than they were thinking to have. And one of those reasons that it's happening is their goaltender. Henrik Lundqvist has given him a chance to win almost every single night, and that is helping a young team along.
Chris Kerber with us, Blues Rangers tonight, New Year's Eve tilt at Enterprise Center. Tell us about the goalie, Evan Fitzpatrick, and what does it mean that he got the call? We've talked so much about Ville Husso, and now we've seen Binnington. We're going to see Fitzpatrick at least called up. I don't know that we'll see him play much, but what do you know about this kid?
Well, this is you shouldn't see him play much. This isn't a call-up because this guy's been lighting it up. It's a call-up because of the injury to Ville Husso. So Ville Husso is going to be out 10-14 days for this for San Antonio. That being the case, they wanted to get Jordan Binnington playing again, so you send Jordan Binnington down. He's able to get some games. The way the Blues' schedule is set up right now, you can continue to ride Jake Allen at least through the rest of this homestand until you get the back-to-back games in Philly and then home against Dallas that second week in January. So this is Jake Allen's team. Now, Evan Fitzpatrick was a second-round pick in 2016, And you got to love it when this kind of things happen. He's only 20 years old. He's a newbie, so he's from the what they call the Rock out there in Newfoundland. And he had played 14 games for Tulsa in the East Coast Hockey League, got called up because of the injury to Husso, got to play, and got called up when the Blues called up Binnington, and then got to play in a game and started and won his first American Hockey League start. So. It has happened before. Within the span of 7 days, a guy has gone from the East Coast Hockey League to playing in a game in the National Hockey League. It doesn't happen often. To be blunt and honest, I hope we don't see it, because that would mean things have gone south again, and the Blues need Jake to be good.
Last year at this time, Alex Pietrangelo was a scoring defenseman and one of the better defensemen in the league. How would you evaluate his play so far, and what do you think Saturday night in his comeback game?
Well, he played just about 20 minutes in that comeback game, Frank. I thought he played played okay, after missing 11 games. I don't think he's had a very good season at all. His season didn't start well, much like a lot of these other veteran guys, and it's been kind of a chase your tail and get back in it ever since. So he's an important piece to this hockey team. You could see on the penalty kill why he was so important. I realize the last game was a bit of an anomaly, but the penalty killing was not trending well because he was out anyway. He has to find another level, and he has to play better. So do some of the other veterans on the team. I'm not as wild about the top tandem, to be honest with you. I don't know that I really like the pairing of Bouwmeester and Pietrangelo together. I think the Blues have tried it for several years, and I don't know that it's been an overly successful tandem, but I think Edmondson and Parayko have proven that they can handle some more minutes as well, and I think like we saw in the last game, you could see some minute management of the defensive groupings the way they're paired up right now.
Kerbs, what do you hear about the mindset of Tom Stillman? Obviously, he's not going to pull a Dallas Stars deal and kind of rant and rave and nuke everybody. I don't see that out of him, but what do you think his level of frustration is with this team in this season?
You know what? I honestly haven't talked to Tom about it, but knowing what I know about Tom, I can't imagine that he's happy. I would think he's pretty intense about what's going on. This was an unexpected situation. The Blues find them in two games below 500, five games short of the midway point of the season, and just haven't been able to get on a bit of a run to climb back into the real picture of a playoff picture yet. So I have to think he's disappointed. I have to think that the pressure is on in certain areas. But he's also a calculated person when it comes to this thing. So we'll see how it goes. I think there's still a window here where the Blues have some time to see if this group can figure it out before Doug Armstrong has to start to pulling some triggers. And then, of course, he will keep Tom abreast of what he's thinking as he moves forward and helping those decision processes.
Chris, good stuff. We will talk Thursday before the Stanley Cup champions come to town. Thank you so much for your time, sir.
All right, guys. Happy New Year. Be safe out there today and tonight, and we'll see you guys at the rink.
All right. Chris Kerber joining us, brought to you by Petromart. Petromart is a locally owned and operated family business that's been serving St. Louis for over 30 years. Each location is just as clean, fast, and friendly as the next, with 50 locations to serve you in a hurry. Petromart offers a wide selection of grab-and-go food items like hot and ready pizza, fresh fruit, and salads. Petromart has something for everybody, and it's always prepared fresh and available around the clock. Petromart, a proud sponsor of Phillips 66 Gasoline and a proud sponsor of the St. Louis Blues.
If you are Tom Stillman and you know hockey pretty well, you're looking at this roster and saying, well, we spent a ton of money. We brought that guy in. We gave him a new contract. We signed it. We should be better, right? I mean, it's got to be maddening. And he's not a multi-billionaire either.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a business they're trying to run here, and they're spending to the cap. I think that's the real frustration is you're not in rebuilding mode. They didn't announce before the season, hey, we're going to be a little young this year, or we're not going to add any free agents. I mean, the idea was they were ready to win right away.
And I think if you do make a move, it probably wouldn't be with any of the recent acquisitions. I mean, O'Reilly's your best player. You just have a good feel about Braden Schenn. Even Bozak and Maroon are finding some chemistry right now with Robert Thomas on that third line. If you make a move, it may be one of those guys that have been here for a while that you just don't like what you're seeing.
And Perron even seems to be scoring a little bit more than you maybe would have even expected out of him. So you also have a list of guys with no moves, which is the no trade. They just have to call it something different because it's hockey. But if you look at the team, you'd say, well, he's pretty good. Yeah, he's not bad. Why aren't they better? You know, and I'm sure Mike Yeo is laughing somewhere saying, I had the same group. You just can't get it going. They had a little bit of momentum. I think they had won 5 of 8, 6 of 9, those kind of numbers.
5 of 7 going into Saturday.
And then you get blown out again. Sure, some of it's because of special teams and breakdowns there where you can't kill off a power play for the other team, but there's something just like it's just this weird.
This managerial move or this coaching move did not work out like the Cardinals' managerial move right away.
And it is tough to point out one player because I don't think one player, if it would make a big difference. I think Tarasenko is having a horrendous year. And I don't know if a lot of people point that out. I mean, he's minus 15 and a plus minus 22 points, 11 goals through 35 or 36 games. That's not what you usually see out of him. You usually see, you know, a 35 to 40 plus goal scorer. He's on pace for, what, 20
you
or 22?
You wanted 40, and he's headed for, you know, probably 24, 25. Yeah, and you wanted 40.
And you need him to score, if not every night, of course, every couple of nights. You can't go 8, 9 games without scoring a goal when you're a goal scorer. That's his game. I mean, you don't look at him and say, God, I can't wait to see him kill off a penalty. You know, I want to see him in a face-off. You see Tarasenko on the ice, you say he's going to score a goal. That's his game.
And you brought it up to where there are guys with the no trade. I do believe starting next year, Tarasenko's no trade kicks in. And so I doubt Armstrong and Stillman will make the move and pull a trigger and trade a Tarasenko. But if his play continues like this, you're really in a pickle because you can't really move him without his approval, and that could be, you know, maybe one or two teams on his list that aren't willing to trade for him. Now you're in a situation where you're stuck with
him. And Jake's body of work the last 20 games has been pretty good.
Yeah.
There have been exceptions, but been pretty good. I would almost give him the start like every night. And, you know, he probably wants to do that. Have one of those Grant Fuhr seasons where you start like 76 games in a row. Just start him every night. And then, you know, at the end of the season, you kind of make your decision. Can we move forward with him? Even though you've kind of had that question quite a bit.
And I think 62 Blue keeps saying he's probably the guy next year because you don't have an obvious choice. You know, he's probably going out and saying, hey, we got a number one. They tried that with Halak by trade. They tried it with Ryan Miller. If I had to bet, and you got a long way to go between now and then, he's probably your guy next year because he hasn't flopped, right? You don't have tons of confidence, but he hasn't been brutal.
Yeah. So if he keeps that if you like erase the beginning and then he keeps that goals against under 2.5 from the horrendous beginning on, then, you know, it'd be tough since he's under contract.
And Strick says you can actually erase the beginning. That didn't count, okay?
Because games...
Preseason.
Scores don't count early in the regular season,
correct.
Right?
Those don't count.
Yeah.
By the way, at the Bragging Rights game, a guy came up to me and he said, you know, I love listening to 590, the all-new 590. And he said, I also enjoy the slop. And I said, oh, good for you. And he said, even Strickland. And I said, he had to stop and he had to pause and throw in there, even Strickland. We love Andy.
Yes. I think a lot of people love to hear Andy's take on hockey.
No, absolutely. Yeah. Hockey Sense every Friday at 4 o'clock. They don't necessarily, you're saying they may not want his Mizzou breakdown or his Drew Locke breakdown.
Or NBA or baseball.
Hey, Kyrie Irving was coaching that team from the bench, Frank. You
that was,
right.
That was funny. Yeah.
Don't forget about that.
How about a couple of texts there? If you'd like to be a part of the program, Winning Streak text line, 855-282-8255. Maryville University sponsors our listener line, 855-282-8255.
Allen has worse stats than Hockey Bob. Frank, when do you just admit that this is a bad team? Trade Pietrangelo while you can get something for him. I guess there's a year and a half on his deal. So you question whether you like him long term. Maybe you trade him this offseason or before the trade line deadline this year.
I mean, like last year at this time, if you made that suggestion, oh, it's crazy. He's a young defenseman. He's scoring goals. Now, how could you say that's a bad idea? I agree with the texter.
Speaking of Hockey Bob, wish me a happy birthday, fellas. Have a great 2019, so I guess it's Hockey Bob's
He's got
birthday.
A New Year's Eve birthday. That's
happy
a fun
birthday.
One.
Yeah, that's nice. Speaking of birthdays, real quick, I saw Kim Tucci at the Billiken game yesterday, and I don't know how it came up. He says, you know, I taught Charlie Tuna. And I said, yeah, Martin and I can't believe that because we think you're younger than Charlie Tuna. And he smiled, and then he gave me the Tuna age, he thinks. So.
Well, if you're how old is Kim Tucci? Do we know that? Because if you're teaching somebody, and this was what, grade school, high school?
High school. So you could be 23 and teaching.
Okay, so you could be 6 to 7 years older.
Or even five, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you could be in that range. So if somebody could help us out with
Remember Dan Dierdorf's football jersey? I think we're right around
Chuck Tuna's in that 7 and 2 range?
Yeah, I think so.
I think we've guessed that on the air.
Yeah. I think that'd be right on.
Which he should admit it. He's younger than La Russa.
How old is Russo now? 74?
74. I was Cousin John's house last night, and we're watching a Bruce Springsteen Netflix where he appeared on Broadway, sang some of his songs.
NFL game on Channel 5, and he's watching that. How about that?
Well, we flip back. I saw a couple of Gabbard moments.
Riveting game.
Forth. And during the, we're just kind of telling Springsteen stories, and I said, during the Netflix, I said, God, he was at one of the Maguire games. Remember Springsteen with his kids? So I texted LaRusse and I said, wasn't he there for either 61 or 62? And then I kind of forgot about it. And I put my phone down. Like an hour later, I look, he called me. And he left a voicemail about Springsteen. And he's like, yeah, it was a Traxel homer. Remember that? And he was like, he gave me great detail.
62?
He left me a voicemail. And I thought he was there for 61. Doesn't matter. But I'm like, Tony responded. Now, if you and I said, hey, hop on the show tomorrow, probably no response.
Yeah.
But I texted about Springsteen, and he called and left me a voicemail. And he's talking to somebody in the background. I'm like, who would know? He's like, Traxel, right? Was that the one? Yeah, hey, yeah. I think it was 62. He was there. Remember that? It was Labor Day. And I'm like, well, I remember that game. I just didn't remember which one. But I'm like, that's so Tony, because you know.
That's important to him, yeah.
Yeah, friends of Tony. It's so cool. That.
So let's just count the celebrities that may have been here during that stretch. Billy Bob Thornton, Bruce Hornsby, Bruce Springsteen, that's three.
Springsteen. Grisham was probably coming through.
Four.
Well, I'm sure Bob Knight probably made an appearance
five,
at some point.
Tony Orlando, six.
We never saw Belichick at a Cardinal game, did we?
No. Rick Carlisle,
yes.
Seven.
And then it kind of, there was that basketball tree. He kind of got connected to a lot of people.
Tom Crean, eight.
Tom Crean would show up. Kevin O'Neill, who used to coach Mark.
What a weenie. Nine. That guy. I'm telling you, you guys hired the worst human beings to coach Marquette. O'Neill. I didn't even think Crean was all that bad.
Mike Dean
was the worst.
Just crazy.
Oh.
He wore a seatbelt in his next stop, wherever he coached on the East Coast. He actually had a seatbelt because he couldn't contain himself. O'Neill said, oh, weenie.
He was. Gosh.
But he was, like, none of these guys, like, Bob Knight was a good friend of Tony's. But then you'd kind of, like, Barry Weinberg knew some of these guys, so they would come around. And you're standing at the batting cage, like, why is Kevin O'Neill?
Yeah.
The Northwestern
was Parcells
coach?
Ever at Bush? I saw him in Jupiter.
Mostly Jupiter. And, like, Ron Wolf, Packers executive. He would always be at Jupiter.
Yeah.
Friends. It was great, though. I looked down, I'm like, oh, my God, he called me back. I just wanted confirmation that I was remembering it correctly.
He may not. Oh, he does know how to text. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, he texted, left you a voice message. So then I checked it out. I'm like, unbelievable.
What do you got there texting on the text lines?
Oh, yeah, we got one, the Bass Strick one here. Let me load it up. It's still, there we go. Andy loves Andy, too.
He would agree with that.
He would. The way you guys talked about Mizzou, it seems like it's all about how many games I can win instead of can they win some kind of title and be recognized as an elite program.
No, I understand.
Which is partially accurate, I guess.
No, I think that's what you want to get to. But if you look at Fro Field, there's a sign for conference championships. 1969 is the last time they won a conference championship. It's been a while.
And no Mizzou fan should ever be not happy if they have a 9-win season. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and you'll hear Odom. He's done the history. He's checked the books.
Oh, yeah.
He knows how rare it is.
Eight times in history, yeah.
Yeah. Now, granted, in the early days, you only played 8 or 9 games. But
it's a minor detail.
I think we'd be more than happy to see this program take the step up and become more elite. But I think we're being realistic right now. If you win 9 games, there's nothing wrong with that.
Try being a U of I fan football program. It's tough.
Right? I think Lovey has to lose the beard.
Well, whatever helps him win, go with a faux hawk. I don't care what you go out with. Just bring some recruits with you. So,
all right, what do you have coming up in the coveted hour?
Chuck Marlowe not in today. We've been separated for weeks, and now he won't be here because he did TMA duty. Jimmy Hewer and I going to kind of look back at some of the big sports stories 2018 and sort of we'll look ahead also to 2019, Frank. Very We're going to ring in the new year on the Midday Grind next on 590 The Fan.